three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Edition. Does anyone on Wilde and Tausch work around here other than me? Edition. The not one, but two cousin subs of the day. Edition. The wow. We've got a Packers Hall of Famer on most days, or some days. Today we've got an Olympic gold medalist. Edition. And I have some questions, and I think Matt Hamilton is just the guy to help me with this. Which non-traditional sports should I be watching during the Olympics? Because Lord knows his sport is a non-traditional sport. And how should I feel about Coldplay? Coldplay. I'll explain a little bit later in the program, edition. I'm Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, right here. Here I am. There he is, too. We're working on Twitter, but Facebook and YouTube for sure right now. And, of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is on assignment, so our cousin sub of the day in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios is the great Hunter Vaughn. Hunter, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Excited to be working with you and Matt today.
I'm excited too, and I can't wait for more trivia about Gerald Ford. That is a staple. I certainly hope that that'll be the category again today. And of course, as the aforementioned Hall of Famer is out, I think he comes back Thursday of next week, maybe Wednesday. I just know he'll be back eventually. So in as our cousin sub of the day for Tausch, it is the Olympic gold medalist, or as Jesse likes to call him, fourth place finisher. And he is in his Olympic regalia representing the red, white, and blue of the USA. It is Matt Hamilton, normally the host of Jim, Matt, and Molly weekdays on ESPN Madison. Matthew, good morning. What a treat this is for me.
Yeah, I'm glad you are thrilled. I'm thrilled to be here, so I'm glad you're mirroring my energy. So pumped to be here. Opening ceremonies today. Literally maybe the coolest part of the Olympics. So it's going to be fun. I think it starts at like 12:30 in the afternoon today. So, and it's 4 hours long, predicted.
I will be in the locker room when it begins, but maybe I'll be out of there if it's 4 hours long before it ends. Wait a minute now, though, because before we get into anything else, I'm already look, you I don't know how you got started in this. I know Tausch and I used to have you on the show while you were still like a food tester or whatever the hell it was you did professionally other than curling.
Yeah.
But as you know, I am a stickler for word choice. It is both part of my charm and one of the things that irritates the guy who's normally in your chair. But you said possibly the coolest part of the Olympics is the opening ceremonies.
Yeah.
You won a gold medal.
Well, no, that's why I'm
that's
saying.
That's cooler.
For most right? Olympians that go there, like, most of them don't win. So it's possibly the coolest part of the Olympics.
Okay, all right.
Like,
that's
last time in Beijing, that was the coolest part of the Olympics.
Yeah, that's because
when it was in Korea.
Finisher.
Yeah, I like Korea's medal ceremony better.
So, all right, so take us through, because I've got all kinds of, look, we're going to talk plenty of Packers. We're going to talk plenty of Jordan Love. But I do have a myriad of Olympic-related questions, and this is a different platform for you. Jim, Matt, and Molly, formerly known as Rutledge and Hamilton, until they added some real talent in Molly Brown.
Needed talent.
You people listen to you every weekday, 4 to 6, on ESPN Madison. They would hear all of your stories of the Olympiads that you have attended as a competitor, and you've been to some as a fan, right? You've got some sort of like all-access pass because you're a gold medalist, right? You just hold up the medal, and they let you go wherever you want at whatever Olympics you go to. Is that how that works?
It's not even – you don't even have to be a medalist. If you're – once you're Team USA, you can get into any Team USA event, essentially. But I have not actually gone as a fan to, like, an Olympics I wasn't competing in. I went as a fan to, like, the hockey game during the Winter Olympics I was competing in. Mm-hmm. But I've never actually used that, like, you know, lifetime ticket to the Olympics if you can show up. I'm waiting for LA for that.
Okay. I was going to say, when do you intend to do that? Because I thought maybe you'd be doing Jim, Matt, and Molly from Paris beneath the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
That is not the case.
Not until we win Best in Madison do we have the budget to send me to Paris.
Okay. Well. So it's going to be a while.
It might be a while.
So, why are the opening ceremonies possibly the coolest thing about the Olympics? And what do you remember from your Olympic opening ceremonies? And what should we be excited about today? Because you clearly are excited about it.
Right. So, okay, I'll peel the curtain back a little bit. So it's a lot of fun. Like, everybody, first of all, you get, like, the coolest outfits and everyone goes to, like, this, like, staging area. You get on a bus and they take you to, like, a main staging area. Sometimes it's an arena. Sometimes it's this, like, giant, giant tent. Mm-hmm. And you're hanging out with literally all the other athletes in, like, a giant room. So, like, it's fun to go mingle. Like, everyone's got their, like, home base to set up where they're like, okay, Team USA sits here, you know. But then you, like, kind of go around and mingle and get to, like, you know, chat with some of your competitors, talk to other athletes from other countries in different sports. Like, it's a really interesting feeling of, like, you all have a common interest, but everyone's got a different background, and it's a really, like, cool scenario.
I feel like you'd be a gold medal winning mingler. You're really good with people, you're charming, you're likable. I'm going to stop with the compliments.
I'm really coming out of my shell, so it took some time.
It took a while. Yeah, exactly.
But it's super neat, Wildy. But the problem is it's very much like an airport. It's hurry up and wait. Like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, get on the bus, go into this, like, pavilion, and then wait here for, like, 2.5 hours till you're ready to go. And then we're going to start taking the countries for the march, and it's going to be France first, and then it's going to go Algeria.
Azerbaijan.
Yeah, right? So then, like, as Team USA, you're like, well, I probably got another hour and a half before I got to, like, line up, which is super important to a lot of people because they all try and hustle to the front of the line.
Sure.
You get to the spot and you start walking towards the stadium and everyone's jockeying for position because you want to be up front or close to an edge maybe so you can be seen by a camera or your friends back home so you can wave. And then you get to that, like, entrance and the lights are on so bright. And there's, like, for me in Beijing, they had these little, like, lights in front of the seat. So, like, LED lights. So you would see, like, Team USA scroll across the stadium where the fans are sitting. So, like, it's pretty incredible in this feeling. You're in the stadium and then Team USA comes on and you start marching out. And yeah, I feel like I described it yesterday. I felt like I was floating, right? You know, you ever walked for a really long time in a day and then, like, sat down for a little bit and got back up and started to walk and you just felt like it was way easy and it was, like, effortless.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it feels like when you go around, because you've got so much adrenaline pumping, and it's one of the very few times as an athlete where you get to be a part of like Team USA. When there's the World Championships for basketball, like, sure, you're Team USA, but you're just with other basketball players. Like, this is an opportunity where you're amongst so many different people from your country, different shapes, sizes, backgrounds, ethnicities. It's you're in this like giant melting pot of people who have the same goal, and that's to represent the United States and get a gold medal. And yeah, it's like a crazy thing. I've got chills kind of just describing it right now. So it's a lot of fun, and I you won't realize how great it is until it's over 2 weeks later when you're on your way back home.
So of course, I'm going to have follow-ups because that's what I do. First of all, you said that they were jockeying for position.
Yeah.
How good of a jockeyer were you? And because I am Google image searching you.
Well, you'll find me in 22. My teammate was the flag bearer, so we made sure we were right behind in the front row.
Okay, so I've got there's a lot of pictures of you on the internet, by the way. just so you know. More than I anticipated, frankly. So how did you do in terms of getting airtime on the opening and or closing ceremony?
Hunter, real quick, Hunter, greatest photo from the Olympics. If you can go to my Facebook page, one of my old backgrounds, my sister took it. It's got right the moment we walk out to the stadium, and you can see the five of us are like lined up, ready to go out in the opening ceremonies. It's the most applicable picture to this conversation, and it's amazing. It was the best photo I think I've seen from that 2022 Olympics. Anyway, Jason, what'd you say?
I'm Facebook friends with you. Now you got me looking forward for it. how effectively did you find yourself on television during the opening and or closing ceremonies?
So I didn't actually go back and watch the opening or closing ceremonies on either of them, but I did. There's obviously a lot of photos. There's a Team USA calendar that came out after the 2018 ones, and we were just kind of shuffled in the middle. I didn't understand the game of shuffling for position my first Olympics. So we were just kind of stuck in the middle, and I was able to, like, mm-hmm. Where's
rookie
Waldo
mistake.
Myself? Yeah,
rookie mistake, sure.
But the second go-around, yeah, we were in the front. We were right behind our teammate, John Schuster, who was the flag bearer for the Winter Olympics. And, yeah, it was great. It was the great spot to be. Ah, you found it. Well done, Hunter.
I'll have that up momentarily.
I knew we could count on Hunter to get that done. All right, so one more thing about this, and then we will move forward and we'll talk about your Packers fandom and your concerns about Jordan Love, because I feel like I'm being inundated with people now who, after three practices and 4 days of camp, are starting to get very apprehensive about his hold in during training camp. But you said it's the most memorable, most fun, whatever. Are people tipsy during this? Like, is there some partying going on before either the opening or closing ceremony on their way in or on their way out? Because it does appear that people are having a lot of fun when I'm watching them.
Yeah, I will say I didn't have any fun. I mean, it was a lot of fun, but I didn't need any fun enhancing drinks prior to either opening or closing ceremonies. So technically, both of the Olympic villages I played in were dry, quote unquote.
Uh-huh.
The U.S. men's hockey team, you could always count on sneaking in a ton of beer. So there's some times to get down, but I personally wasn't going to do it when, you know, 3 billion people are watching on TV and it's the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. So I was not going to take that chance.
And again, we're a family show.
Yeah.
So I will choose my words carefully on this, never knowing who might be listening. But so they distribute, for lack of a better term, protection.
Yes.
If you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. That's
but there's no beer.
Again, it is supposed to be, but they don't really enforce it. In 2022, Team Canada had like three pallets of Molson sent into the village, into their little, like, their apartment, their Olympic Village apartment building. And obviously, they didn't stop it. So, and, like, Team USA hockey, these guys didn't even, like, bring it over. They went to, like, a hotel within that, like, COVID bubble, because I was in that COVID Olympics
right,
in Beijing.
Right, right.
There was another hotel within, like, the safe bubble, so to speak, and they brought, like, a suitcase, and a suitcase, mind you, that I could fit into, and I'm a big human.
You're not small.
They filled that with beer and did it about three times. They went to a hotel and told them to fill this suitcase with beer. And, yeah, they walked it right through security. They sent the suitcase through a normal, like, bag scanner like you would at an airport, which is how you get in and out of the Olympic Village. You have to go through basically airport security. Yeah, yeah. And they just, like, wave and say, have fun. Like, they didn't care. So it was dry, but, like, it wasn't enforced.
All right. I do want to talk a little bit about the sports that we don't pay attention to until the Olympics roll around. And I don't mean to offend all your great accomplishments. But
no, that's curling for sure.
I think curling would fit the bill there. So yeah. We'll talk about that coming up. We will get to Jordan Love. I will also, obviously, we're in Green Bay, so practice kicks off at 10:30. Matt LaFleur speaks again at 9:50, so we'll see what the Packers head coach says as we get ready for practice number 4 of training camp. Matt Hamilton is in as our cousin sub of the day, and so is Hunter Vaughn for Jesse Nelson. Matt's in for Tausch, but Tausch is never far away, especially when it comes to talking about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. So here is Tausch talking about Pella. And we'll be back with more next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
ESPN Wisconsin's Mark Tauscher here for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And now is the time for a bad dad joke.
What did the window say when it was arrested? I was framed.
All right. Well, dad jokes aside, my mind is on windows because Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin has a fantastic deal going on right now. Pay as low as $18 per window and $81 per patio door per month. Pella completes the installation with no mess, no hassle, and no bad dad jokes, leaving nothing but perfect results behind. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on July 31st. Visit PellaWI.com today to get started.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I'm dumb and wild and free. When I close my eyes, I can see you in my sweatshirt. Dancing around that college bar these days. I don't know where you are, but I get to keep these memories forever. Oh, I
So this is the best picture of you from the Olympics, and it's your back?
Yeah, it is. But it's like, it's the best picture. It's so good.
I prefer the one where your sister is rolling her eyes at you and you are giving her the bunny ears behind her head. But
yeah,
hey,
that was
that's
18.
Back when you had a haircut. So,
yeah, that yeah, was 18. That's,
it doesn't even look like you anymore. rolling with our favorite Olympic gold medalist and our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs we believe in better, Matt Hamilton filling in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, as is Hunter Vaughn. All right, we'll get to Jordan Love coming up in the next segment, but I did want to ask this as well, since we do have a obscure Olympic sports expert on our panel today. You're self-aware, right? You would acknowledge
yeah,
that
100%.
As much as we love you and think highly of you, even though Jesse makes fun of your heartbreaking finish in the last Olympiad that you were in. The bottom line is your sport is a niche sport.
Yes.
It is not the same as men's hockey. It is not skiing. It is not figure skating. So,
well, would you say you follow figure skating in the off years? Non-Olympic
definitely
years?
Not. No.
Right.
Definitely not. But maybe it doesn't draw the same number of eyeballs.
Oh, it doesn't. That's the hottest ticket
during
the Winter Olympics. It's the hottest ticket at the event.
But I'm definitely, you're right. I am definitely not watching the World Championships in non-Olympic years. Now, with you, I do find myself at least checking in, and it's easy to do because it's just, hey, when is Hamilton off the show? He must be competing in some sort of curling event, and it's pretty frequently. I don't know who works less, you or Tausch, but the fact of the matter is that it is one of those sports that you watch when the Olympics are on for most people, and then they don't watch it again. And you're right, figure skating is that too. But yesterday I watched team handball.
Awesome.
Which was France and Uruguay, maybe? And then I watched rugby. The first one I watched was Argentina and France. And then I watched some of the USA versus Uruguay. And I'm sitting there going, and Paula was making fun of me, but of course, Sydney, who's our youngest, is like the carbon copy of me. And we watched the entirety of that handball match between two countries that we're not from because we were so interested in it. Because it's different, right? Handball is like a cross between basketball and soccer.
Yeah, wild sport.
You were talking earlier about how it's all these, it's this great melting pot at the Olympics, right? Of different people from different countries who play different sports. What are your go-to Olympic summer and winter sports that you're not paying attention to for 4 year spurts, but then once the Olympics roll around, you're saying, ooh, I want to watch this.
Right. So for summer sports, like one of the first ones that's amazing to watch is badminton. It's just crazy. It's so fast and they're so good. Like some of the rallies can last so long. Badminton's an absolute blast to watch. I really like my favorite winter or summer sport is beach volleyball. The beach volleyball is so good because the court and the crowd is always so like right on top of the court. It's very intimate. You've got just a kind of like a party setting. It's not as like official as some of the other sports feels. Like there's music playing. Like I said, the crowd's really close and I just like the energy from volleyball. Plus, I enjoy playing volleyball and watching volleyball. So, obviously, that's one. But I feel like that doesn't really count as a niche enough sport. There's some good ones in the summer. Equestrian is kind of funny. You kind of wonder. It's kind of like NASCAR. You're like, how good of athletes are these? It's like, is it the horse that's the athlete, or is it the rider, or a combo of both?
It's the horse.
Does the horse get the the gold medal, or is it just the rider that gets one?
You know, I don't know. I'm sure the horse gets, at the very worst, a wreath. And then all of the track sports, like, I find track very entertaining to watch, especially the throwing events, like javelin's pretty wild, or the pole vault, pretty wild event. The running's fine. It's fun to see who the fastest people are, but I'm here for, like, the weird events because, yeah, I'm part of that like community that only gets watched during the Olympics. And I want to contribute to those other niche sports during the Olympics. I'll watch those because I know how it feels to be someone like our good friend Tauscher thought I literally take a 3.5 year break and then gear up for the Olympics every 4 years.
He did. He did.
I'm sure there's people who do javelin and people are like, yeah, so you just get geared up for the Olympics to do the javelin? It's like, no, there's track events all year round. There's indoors, there's outdoors, there's track events all the time. So yeah, you get like, I have an extra sympathetic spot for those sports, I guess.
Yeah, I have to be honest, I don't know how many rugby matches I've watched in my time on earth.
Yeah, and there's two versions of rugby. You watched sevens yesterday.
I did, yes.
Sevens now, is wait. The one. I like sevens more than elevens.
Wait a minute. How do you have a preferred version of rugby? It's, like, are you moonlighting as a rugby player when you're not around and we're wondering where you are?
No.
Or because there can't be many people that have their, well, I prefer sevens over 11s.
No, it's a faster paced game. They're typically a little bit smaller players. It's like someone probably correct me. It's 11s or it might be even more, but it's just, there's bigger dudes in that one, and it's a little bit slower pace. The sevens, these guys are all like little Tyreek Hills flying around.
It was entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like Tyreek Hills, but built like Christian McCaffrey, like they are.
Yeah.
These dudes are like yoked and fast. The
legs are tree trunks in rugby because they're dragging defenders all the time. It's a crazy game, but sevens is definitely the better version.
So is sevens like the SEC and 11s is like the Big Ten West for rugby? Is that the way to think about it?
As far as like size goes?
Yeah, and like play style?
Yeah, I would say 11s is like the Big Ten offensive line and sevens is like SEC wide receivers running backs.
Okay. Yeah. Now I get it.
As far as like size difference.
Just got to put it in college football terms, right, and then I'll understand.
So like they do have a couple of fast guys on the 11s or the larger squads, and they're typically wingers, but the really big dudes are in the middle just beating the snot out of each other.
Listen to Hamilton. Oh, they're the wingers and this and that. All right. I can't. This is rugby today on ESPN Wisconsin. That has been your rugby minute. Hunter, what are you watching that you don't normally watch? I mean, we know you watch the Dallas Cowboys very closely, but what are you watching in the Olympics that you wouldn't normally pay attention to?
I get into the cycling stuff because I like how they do like the races around whatever city they're in. The
velodromes too.
Yeah, and then the velodrome, I'm just like, that is fascinating, and I would hurt myself so bad if I ever tried that.
Because
like,
that feels like barely the speed skating. It feels like the speed skating of the Olympics.
Yep, exactly. So I'm always locked in on that.
You ever seen the speed climbing?
What?
Yeah, so climbing is like a new Olympic sport in 2021. And this is the second Olympics that they have it. And they go up pretty high. It's like 40 meters, 30 meters. And it takes them like 9 seconds, 10 seconds.
Well, you're a total Olympian when you're dropping meters. I mean, come on. Well, we're this is America, man. How many 31, yards is that?
31 or 30 and 3/4 yards.
All right, we will get to the Packers coming up, but we're thrilled to have our Olympics expert. We'll see if he's a Coldplay expert a little bit later in the program. I saw that piqued his interest when I brought it up at the start of the show, but we need to get to the Packers. I'm going to get down to practice in a little while, but I'm getting the sense that people's patience is already running thin on the Jordan Love hold-in, and I'm a poet, and I didn't even know it. Because I'm I've been starting to get some feedback from fans and teammates who are starting to express some frustration. And it feels premature to me, but maybe that's just the non-fan in me that's causing that. So we'll talk about that coming up. Want to remind you, whenever Jordan Love gets that contract, and maybe they will have a giant check that they hand him for that signing bonus, you know that it'll have the logo of Associated Bank on it, because Associated Bank is the bank of the Packers. And if you're a Packers fan, that means you can get Packers checking with a Packers debit MasterCard, Packers checks, and of course, 10% off at the Packers Pro Shop in store and online. And if you're not a Packers fan, you'll still be a fan of Associated Bank because you'll get great customer service. They've just won another award from JD Power for how great their customer service is. And you get early pay, meaning if you have direct deposit from your employer, you can have access to your money up to 2 days early when you have some sort of maybe a little unexpected expense. Maybe you decide to fly off to Paris and watch the Olympics. Well, now you'll have your money a little bit early. Go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. More with Matt Hamilton, our cousin sub of the day. It's Will Deans Hausch.
Watch every ESPN Madison show live every day. Subscribe to ESPN Madison on YouTube for live video of every show and exclusive content. Just search ESPN Madison.
With Matt Hamilton as our cousin sub of the day. So I sent out the YouTube link. We're in a transition phase with Twitter. And Jesse's working on getting the video stream back there consistently. But I noticed, and there's no way I can monitor this because I have enough stimuli when we do the show. But lots of people comment during the show on the YouTube comments. I didn't realize that. There was a question about the Bears. And I found myself wondering, wait a minute, what? That's Jim, Matt, and Molly that's got the Bears fan that runs the show there. So Bears talk can be found from 4 to 6 on Jim, Matt, and Molly if you're really looking for that. And I don't even – how much of that do you allow, Matt, as a Packers fan?
So, like, we'll talk Packers, and then Jim just, like, kind of, like, drifts off. I kind of feel like he forgets. You know, his own fandom starts coming into play.
Sure.
And get this. Jim's out today, so it's going to be me and Molly later.
Oh, nice.
Ryan Wollersheim's like, hey, great. You guys want a little Bear fan in your life? Let's try and get Kaplan on so we can get a Bear fan. So we might get Cap today. It's not confirmed yet, but that a little sneak peek. That's what we're trying to do. He's joined us a couple times, and a couple times without Jim, and it's fun.
Yeah, he's really, really, really good. There's no two ways about that. All right, so let's talk Packers instead of Bears here with our resident Packers fan. You're like just so let's establish your resume.
Okay.
Your Packers fandom, where would you say it ranks on the fanatical scale of 1 to 100?
Man, it's so tough. It's tough for me to say that because, unfortunately, my curling season goes on the exact same time as football season, so I don't get to watch nearly as many Packer games or go to as many Packer games as I would like. Like, my family has season tickets, and I don't. I might get to a game a year. And
so are you because I know when I would talk to, say, we used to do a thing with Operation Fan Mail, where I would talk to veterans or active service members, and we would always talk about their Packers fandom, and they were like, yeah, I was in Iraq for X number of years, and we always found a way to get, you know, if we were able to, if we weren't like in the middle of a firefight,
right,
we would get video, you know, we'd get the Packers game. Mm-hmm. So if you're competing in Switzerland, are you trying to track down the Packers if it aligns with your competitive schedule?
If it aligns, absolutely. And honestly, most of the time, it's not too hard because normally I miss Packer games because I'm curling in Canada. So for the most part, Canada's NFL fans, like, you can find that game anywhere. If it aligns, I like to do it. But I end up watching a lot of like that, you know, Packers in 15 minutes kind of stuff just because that's what I have time for.
Okay.
But I would say my fandom does run deep, though, because I'm technically an owner. My parents bought me a ownership stock piece of paper when I was younger. So I'm an owner. And I'm definitely, like, hopefully optimistic. But as far as, like, fanatic goes, I'd go 65 out of 100. Okay. Maybe 70. And I'd like that number to be higher. I think when I'm done curling, it will be higher. I won't quite get to, like, paint your face to go to a game, but I might get to at least 3 or 4 games a year, and that would be way more than I'd get to now.
Well, that's certainly higher than me. I'm about a 2. All right, so, Hunter, just because you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, this doesn't apply to you, but how would you rate your Cowboys fandom on a scale of 1 to 100 in terms of intensity?
It's probably about a 90.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the point where you would paint your face at a game. 90.
Okay. I wouldn't go quite that far, so let's maybe knock it down to 80. I get very into the games. My wife doesn't necessarily enjoy being in the apartment while I'm watching games. Yeah. She was nice enough to go with me.
Questions the decisions she'd made in her life.
Yeah. I get so into those games, and Jerry Jones frustrates me so much. So when they inevitably break my heart in the playoffs, I start saying some things about that man that I shouldn't say and I won't say on the air. And it's not healthy. It's not good. And I know that it's not, but I can't stop myself. That's the problem. I go into every season like, I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to be realistic. They're not going to be great. They're going to look good because some of the division isn't great. And then I inevitably get my hopes up at the end of the year, and then the 49ers or the Packers break my heart.
So, Jason, I know you're trying to do a Packers show here, but Hunter, did you know that already, before the season's even started, Jerry Jones made a comment about how he's basically preparing for life after Dak.
Yep. That man that only cares feel? About media attention. I hate it so much.
Preseason, he's already hedging that he's going to get rid of his, what we all thought was a franchise quarterback. It's
which
hilarious.
Then makes me feel like all of the Packers front office is so much better equipped to handle things than Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. Because for all of the things that you can say about the dumb things that get said at times up in Green Bay, it's not nearly as bad as what goes on down in
Jerry
Dallas.
World.
Yeah. So Packer fans should, I already know they feel lucky, but like feel even more lucky because it's a headache.
So I don't want to get bogged down in Jordan Love conjecture, right? Oh, what's the holdup and this and that? Because I got to be honest, I had Jordan Love contract fatigue already, and now I'm starting to get Jordan Love guessing fatigue. Because look, I don't, even the folks that are talking to his agents, right? Mm-hmm. The Diana Rossinis, the Adam Schefters, the Ian Rappaports, the Tom Pelisseros, etc. I mean, let's be honest, they're probably not being told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So now we're out here guessing, right? Well, what's the holdup? And I'm part of that. So I'm not saying that I've been above the fray on guessing. My guess has been that it's related to guaranteed money, that he wants to guarantee more money, and the Packers want to hedge their bets just in case he's not as star-spangled awesome as he appeared to be during the second half of last season. Again, I don't think that he will turn out to be a colossal disappointment, or that will turn out to have been an aberration. I think he will turn out to be a very good quarterback. Whether he's great, whether he's an MVP, whether he's a Hall of Famer, I have no freaking idea. Okay? So that's kind of where I'm at. But this is why I wanted to get your kind of fanatical scale on the spectrum, because I'm wondering if there is a direct correlation between how desperately you live and die with this team and how frustrated or desperate you're getting about a deal not being done yet. Because for me, I'm sitting here going, it's been 3 days. They're not in pads. They're getting a guy who needs the work if catastrophe hits in Sean Clifford some work. I mean, he needs it. Right, yeah. He played 13 snaps last year. So if, you know, Jordan Love managed to stay healthy, started all 19 games, across the NFL, 66 different quarterbacks started at least one game last year. So that is an average of 2 per team and then some. So Jordan is the outlier there. So it's good that Sean Clifford is getting this work, but I am getting the sense that people are starting to get a little panicky. So I want to ask Matt whether he's getting panicky, and I want Hunter's perspective as a Cowboys fan, because as a Cowboys fan, he's got all kinds of things to panic about. Dak taking up a gargantuan amount of their cap, CeeDee Lamb not having a deal, Micah Parsons situation, all that stuff. It's not a Cowboys show, but I think he can be illustrative of, hey, things could be way worse. You could have Jerry Jones running your team. So we'll have that conversation coming up. Before we do that, we need to register more contestants, more GMs for the annual ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football League. It is back, and the draft takes place next Thursday. Next Thursday, August 1st, at Dave & Buster's in Wauwatosa. And if you want to be part of the fun, and you are available on Thursday, don't call if you have a conflict and you're going to be watching Olympic badminton and you won't be able to take part in the draft. So if you are able, we will take caller 4 and caller 12. Caller 4 and caller 12 at 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 4 and caller 12, you will be registered to have a team at the annual ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football Draft and in the Fantasy Football League. Again, it is Thursday, August 1st at Dave & Buster's in Tosa. Full contest deals can be Full contest details can be found at ESPNWisconsinContest.com. Can't wait to see you at Dave & Buster's in Tulsa on Thursday, August 1st. Caller 4 and caller 12 now, 844-770-3776. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
What's up, Madison? It's head coach Kelly Sheffield.
Wisconsin proved they were the number one team in the country tonight.
You're listening to Madison's new home for Wisconsin Badger Volleyball, 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
LaFleur is at the podium inside the Lambeau Field Media Auditorium, and he has no updates on Jordan Love.
Surprise.
So if you were hoping to have an update on Jordan Love, you will not be getting one today, and that means that he will not be practicing today, clearly, as the hold-in continues. Day five of the hold-in, practice number four that he'll be missing. So here's my question, and we're going to put it in poll form here shortly.
Jason, I think we lost you there. So the poll question, poor Jason, technical difficulties.
Yeah, we lost Jason there for a second.
Trying to get him back?
Yep.
All right, well, while he works on that, I'm sure he's going to ask something about the concern level for Jordan Love, so we'll get back into it, but I'll tell you about my concern level. For me, especially this week without pads, it doesn't really – I'm not that nervous. It's no pads yet. It's not real football. Like, sure, running through some of the offense with the team is important, but I think that getting Clifford some reps when no one's in pads is fine. All the players around Jordan Love are going to have a little bit of a feel for what's going on, and Jordan's still going to hit the ground running with this team when he does get a deal done. So personally, I'm not super concerned with Jordan Love not having a contract done right now.
I want to thank Riverside Animal Hospital for calling and leaving a voicemail about Stella, who we took in for her regular checkup yesterday and knocked me off the radio briefly. But the question I was asking is, who do you blame? And let me be clear, I don't think we should be blaming anybody. This is just the cost of doing business. And I'm sorry that it's inconvenient, and I'm sorry that you would rather have the starting quarterback taking part. But for me anyway, this is how negotiations go. And deadlines spur action, but the start of training camp was a deadline. It wasn't the only deadline. And so I don't even really want to ask, well, whose fault is it? Who do you blame more? But that feels like the question everyone's asking me.
Right.
And there it does feel like there are people already turning on Jordan Love. Well, he's under contract. He should honor his contract. Yeah, and if your company was on the precipice of signing you to a long-term contract that over the life of the contract would pay you 20 times more than what you're scheduled to be making this year, and you had a risky job where you could get injured during this year working for a lot less, and it would jeopardize your ability to get all the money that would be in this next contract, would you really be risking your earning power yourself? I understand there's not a lot of parallels between real life and football life, but I think in this instance, if you look at it from that perspective, I feel like most people would do what Jordan's doing. And by the way, he is here. He's in all the meetings. He's at all the walkthroughs. He's in the locker room with his teammates. So I don't quite understand why folks are down on him. Is this a blind spot for me because I cover the team and I'm around the guy and I have, I think, a pretty good idea of what kind of guy he is? Is that just me being obtuse, or is that, I think, a reasonable way to view this?
So I don't agree. I don't think it's reasonable to blame Jordan Love right now. This is this is money that can affect his grandchildren, right? Like, this is big time dollars. He is well within his right, especially to do it the way he's doing it and coming in. I think that's totally fine. I think one of the real big disconnects here is that fans are kind of blaming Jordan Love for what the Jordan Love camp is doing. Like, the agents are the ones who trying to get Jordan Love as much money as they can, because in doing so, they get themselves as much money as they can. Mm-hmm. So they might have held up, they could have held up negotiations at the, you know, at that first deadline, May 3rd, by saying, we're going to wait until some other quarterback sign and the market is set. So, like, I just feel like people forget, like, Jordan Love's not the one negotiating. Like, sure, he's got some say, but the agents are the ones who are really, in my opinion, could be the ones that are forcing this delay. Obviously, the Packers have offered him something. Jordan Love and his agents don't like where they're at. But I really believe that the agents are like, hey, Jordan, I think we can get more. You know, and I don't blame him for agreeing and going along with it. I just think the disconnect between what an agent does for the player and pretending like that's the player's decision entirely is often overlooked.
Hunter, as a Cowboys fan, and you're watching this with your own team's issues with the quarterback contract, what are you thinking?
I think they just need to pay Jordan. Because right now you don't have to worry about paying two other position players, top three in the at their position, money, mm-hmm. the way that the Cowboys are looking at things. So they're trying to squeeze out every single dollar that they can from Dak, because they know that they need Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb. So if you're the Packers, like, it just seems weird that they're not just like, yep, we're going to pay you this money. Also then knowing that, like, when Patrick Mahomes signed his contract, he was the number two highest paid quarterback per year when he did his, behind only Ryan Tannehill, and now he's sitting at like number eight. It's going to go up. Other guys are going to get paid, and the percentage of the cap that his money is going to take up is going to slowly go down as well. So it just seems weird to, like, get upset over $3-4 million a year, mm-hmm. when you know that that's such a drop in the bucket of what the salary cap will probably be in 3-4 years from now.
Right.
Yeah, I am convinced that they are just trying to protect themselves in the event that he's not as good as they think. And we all agree that he appears to be a good to very good quarterback. But it is their responsibility to make sure that if he turns out to not be, they're not trapped in a contract. Because look, Hunter, you know, I've heard you complain about Dak Prescott before as a Cowboys fan. And we've talked about his failures in terms of playoff success or lack thereof, right? I mean, he's a good quarterback. But part of the reason why things have played out the way they have in Dallas is that I'm not quite sure that they believe that he'll ever get them to the promised land. Fair?
Yeah. And, like, Dak is a guy that I don't think, even though Jerry Jones said it to the media yesterday, Dak isn't a guy that will elevate the team to be better. He's a guy that has been in a situation where he has had Dez Bryant and Amari Cooper and now CeeDee Lamb as his number one wide receivers. He's had great tight end play his entire time. He's had one of the best O-lines his entire time. Their issues in the playoffs have been more on the defense, I think. But it's still, he's done nothing to, like, overcome that and get them past things. Where it seemed like last year, especially at the end of the year, Jordan Love was making plays and doing things to make the rest of the team better. So that's where it signals to me that even if he's just good, he still shows signs of making the team around him better. So that alone, I think, is worth being a top 10 in the league when it comes to the dollar amount. So it, again, just pushes me back to, like, the front office, just do it. Like, get it done, figure it out. And Jordan, I don't get the hate for Jordan because, again, like, dude's got to protect his leg. After what happened to Teddy Bridgewater, quarterbacks mm-hmm. can't be going out there if they don't have guaranteed money. They
Great
just can't
example.
Do it.
Great example. I mean, and look at what Teddy Bridgewater's career became.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? He just became a journeyman bouncing around to be backup at a bunch of different places. All right. We will we'll shift gears to kick off the 10 o'clock hour. I do want to get to Unsportsmanlike's Super Bowl contenders list that they had earlier this week. We will see what else Matt LaFleur had to say at the podium. Packers getting ready for practice. It kicks off at 10:30. I'll head down there around 10:45, and Hunter and Matt will play some trivia while I'm making my trip, and then we'll have the 11 o'clock hour. We'll have some updates from practice there too. But before we get to that, we got to get to the 10 o'clock hour, which will kick off in 2 minutes with Matt Hamilton, the gold medalist, as our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.